Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday Morning Show. I'm your host, Phil Huff, and with me today, I'm really excited because we have a new person in town or in our region who we're going to get to know a little bit better, Carson Watkins, who's the new area supervisor for the Idaho Department of Fish and Game for the Panhandle region. Welcome to the show, Carson.
Thanks, Phil. Pretty happy to be here and appreciate the opportunity to visit with folks.
Yeah, we also have perennial guest, almost, should we say, TJ Ross, Regional Communications Manager from the Idaho Department of Fish and Game. TJ's come on the show a few times to talk about various things. There's always something going on with managing our region's abundant wildlife and fish populations. Welcome back to the show, TJ.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. I'm also happy to be here, and I think perennial guest sounds good. I'll go with that.
Yeah. Carson, welcome to the Panhandle. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. So it's my second stint now in the Panhandle. I'm an Idaho native, grew up in rural Gem County, Idaho, which is down in the southwestern part of the state. My family's been there a couple generations now and has a family farm and ranch that I grew up on there. So folks are in the cattle business. And so I kind of grew up running around in the woods, chasing critters, working on my family's farm and making a living in with natural resources and stuff. And so I guess I was kind of born into working with wildlife and doing natural resources work. And so graduated from Emmett High School a bunch of years ago, went down to the University of Wyoming and in Laramie. Got a degree in fish and wildlife management there. And during the summers, like a lot of the folks that work for Fish and Game to get their start, kind of get a foot in the door with the agency, they work temporary jobs, helping out as bio aides or technicians with field work and that kind of stuff, working on fish hatcheries. And so I got my start much the same way. Met some folks that worked for the Fish and Game, and I was, of course, a kid that loved to hunt and fish, so it seemed like a natural fit. Got to know some folks at Fish and Game and started volunteering with them, ended up getting a summer job with them and kind of carried that through college. And so that's where I kind of built the foundation of my career and got to know a lot of the folks that really took me under their wing and showed me how to do this kind of work and what it took. And so one thing led to another. I ended up later on in Moscow at the University of Idaho, and I got a master's there in fishery science. And that's actually where I first got to know TJ and started working with him actually up on the Kootenai when I was a snot-nosed graduate student and kind of cutting my teeth and research and that kind of stuff. And so worked a lot with Fish and Game and our research program up there doing fisheries research for 3 years. I worked closely with the Kootenai tribe up there. Ended up finishing that work and graduating in around 2014. And that's when I first joined the department full time. And so, and that was here in Coeur d'Alene. And so I joined the department back then as a regional fisheries biologist. So doing work that was similar to what TJ actually did back then, except for I was on the management side of things. So monitoring fish populations, keeping track of what we got, where they are, what they die from, collecting the type of information that our commission uses to set seasons and regulations and that kind of stuff. And so anyway, did that job for about 5 years, and then I was asked to go down to southeastern Idaho and be the regional fisheries manager for Region 5 in Pocatello. And I, at that point in time, thought that I had hung the moon. Greatest job in the world. It was a ton of fun working closely with the resource users, the resource, a lot of different stakeholders down there to do a whole bunch of different kind of work, focused on, sport fish enhancement, basic fish conservation, and And it was a great experience down there in a completely different part of the world. So I was there for 3 years until just early this summer, the director asked me to come back to the Panhandle and lead the operations of the entire department in Region 1 up here. So that is what I do now. It feels really good to be back. It feels like home to the family and I, and they got a great crew up here, and it's already been a ton of fun. And now this job feels like it's the greatest one in the whole world.
There's a lot with your new job we want to unpack here, but I've got to ask first. 2014 on the Kootenai, it had to include some work on two of the iconic fishes up there, the sturgeon and the burbot. That had to be unique.
It did a little bit in one way or another. It did relate to those. I was actually brought on. The Kootenai tribe at the time was just breaking ground on some of the habitat work that they were doing in the river above town. And at the time, and I think still, it's the largest riverine habitat restoration project in the entire world. And so at the time, they were really curious about how that work was affecting fish communities and whether they were reaching desired objectives and some of that kind of stuff. And so I was brought on at that point in time to evaluate some of that and figure out how well it was working and to provide some prescriptions for them to help guide the future of some of that work.
Sounds really exciting. And so does your new job. And so for people who are first-time listeners or new to the area, tell us a little bit about the role that the Idaho Department of Fish and Game plays and a little bit about the structure. So you're the Panhandle Region's area supervisor. What does that mean? How many are there? And what does the area supervisor do?
Yeah, you bet. Well, I do a lot of stuff, Phil. Let me back up a second. You know, what the fishing game really does, if you go to Title 36-103 and sort of look up what the purpose of the department and the commission is, the law really tells us what we do and what our role is. And that's really where our mission is laid out. And our mission is sort of enshrined in state law. And so it's to preserve, protect, perpetuate, and manage the fish and wildlife in this state. And there's more to it, and I don't get every word right, but you know, we preserve, protect, perpetuate, and manage toward providing continued supplies for hunting, fishing, and trapping. And so you break that down, and there's a lot to it, and there's a lot of things that we do toward executing that mission. But what I do, you know, and those things, they range from enforcement of fish and wildlife policy and fish and wildlife rules and regulations to the communication, for instance, that TJ does to share with the public what we do, why we do it, creating forums for them to engage and to help with the commission's decision making in the pursuit of season and rulemaking and all that kind of stuff. And so we do a lot of things toward managing fish and wildlife, but they really go back to the basic things that are enshrined in our mission. And so what I do is, you know, I supervise the operations of the department in one of seven regions. So the Fish and Game Department is broken up into seven administrative regions where we carry out the operations. And, you know, a lot of the programmatic policy-related stuff happens at our headquarters office in Boise, but here in the regions is where we put all that stuff on the ground. So that's where we go out and we implement fish and wildlife policy. We do the accounting exercise of figuring out what we have, where we have them, that kind of thing, of the critters, so that the commission can set rules and regulations about how folks interact with those critters. So broadly, that's kind of what we do. Is I supervise nine different programs that focus on collecting information about the animals, where they are, how many we have, communicating with the public, doing specific research and monitoring, enforcing fish and wildlife policy and law, to name a few.
It's a big responsibility with a whole lot of staff, and we'll delve into some details in a bit. But first, let's hear TJ a little bit from you, a little bit more about yourself and your background and the work you're doing for the Idaho Department of Fish and Game.
Yeah, you bet. So Carson is my new supervisor. I'm sure everybody picked that up by now. He oversees everything in the Panhandle, including the communications program. So here in the Panhandle, I run all of our communications. I'm kind of the social media guy, the media guy, the news contact. And really what I try to tell folks is that when I look at my job, it's, you know, we do a lot of really good work. And my role is to communicate that with the folks that care about what we do and that are using the resource. And I really enjoy doing that. I enjoy being able to interact with people who hunt and fish and trap and tell them why we're doing what we're doing and specifically how it benefits them. Everything that we do is through the filter of serving the people of Idaho who enjoy hunting and fishing and trapping. And so being able to connect with them and keep them in the loop on what we're up to and why. So that's really where I fit into the picture. And it's been in the position for about a year, and it's been an absolute blast.
You come to it with a background in communications and biology both?
No, not a background in communications, background in fisheries. For 9 years, I was working up on the Kootenai River, trying to get the burbot fishery up and going, which we successfully did that. And then through that, you know, really enjoyed the process of opening that fishery and being able to communicate that with the public. And it was kind of a light bulb moment for me of like, man, that was really fun. I would like to do more of that, maybe for my entire job. And so that's what led to what I'm doing now. But I will tell you this, and a little interesting tidbit. Prior to getting into fish and wildlife, I thought I was going to be a physical therapist. That was the plan. And then I got a job at a hatchery and realized you could get paid to squeeze fish and do things like that. And it was a total game changer.
Well, you've taken to the communications very naturally. Your emails, newsletters are among the few that I read on a really regular basis. I get inundated with so many, but I set aside a little time to read them when they come through because there's always something very interesting in them.
Well, I appreciate hearing that. Yeah. And I can take credit for some of that, but I'd say I would give most of the credit back to the folks that are in the field on the ground doing the work. They do a lot of really awesome stuff, and I just get to tell the story.
Excellent. So, Carson, coming back to your new position, you take over from someone who is almost a near legend in our area, Chip Corsi. We'd be remiss not to say you have really big shoes to fill, although everyone brings a different aspect to every job. I do want to recognize that Chip had a really large presence in terms of natural resource management of fish and wildlife in our area, and we'll miss him and look forward to having you come into the community. What was it like to get the nod to take over from someone who's so well integrated into the area?
Well, for one, it's a tremendous honor, I guess, to be chosen to lead a region like this, but it's especially special to follow somebody like Chip, not only because of the legacy that a person like Chip leaves in North Idaho and really statewide. You know, Chip worked in a lot of different corners of the state and touched a lot of lives. He influenced a lot of really positive change with regard to, you know, wildlife conservation. And so being able to follow and kind of continue that legacy is really cool. And that's a great opportunity. The opportunity to me really is that I feel like I'm coming into a region and being able to lead a number of programs that have a lot of stability. And what that means to me is that, you know, we can really use that stability to our advantage and to keep momentum toward all the good things that we're doing. And so I just can't overemphasize the value of being able to come into a place where things are working, where we have really good relationships with the communities around the Panhandle because of, you know, that legacy that Chip leaves and because of the way that he sort of immersed himself in our partnership with the communities as we tackled wildlife conservation challenges. And so, you know, being able to, they're big shoes to fill for sure, but being able to come into a place like that, that has a lot of that important groundwork done and established is a privilege. And so that's what I would say about that, is that it's especially fun to be able to follow somebody like Chip. And, you know, he's still around, and Chip has been a mentor to me for a long time. And so a lot of the things that I've learned about how to do this job, or the ones I've done in the past, have, you know, they've come from some of that sage advice that I've gotten over the years from Chip and the interactions I've had with him. And so I'll definitely be working with him to learn more things, because he's still around. And as I learn how to do this job, and he's definitely a lifelong teacher to a lot of people.
Yeah, thank you. And he has been extremely influential, as you put it, not only in our region, but throughout the state. Seems like he was at almost every meeting that I've been to in the last, I don't know how many years, that had any significance attached to management of wildlife.
Yeah.
You must come in with, as you said, not only pre-established programs, but emerging opportunities or situations. What are some of the visions you have, or priorities you have for the Panhandle at this point?
Well, I think, you know, my vision for what we do in the region is really pretty simple, Phil. It's, you know, I anchor everything that we do to our mission. And the most important thing for me is to make sure that in the execution of our mission, we're getting things done, and we're influencing or affecting real world outcomes for the people that live and work in Idaho. You know, Idaho is a special place to me because, you know, I grew up here. It's given me a lot of opportunities, and it doesn't matter whether you're a hunter, angler, trapper, you work in the woods, you watch wildlife, it doesn't matter. You're affected by the conservation work that the fish and game engages in. You're affected by, in some way, generally, the wildlife that we manage on the public's behalf. And so, you know, conservation is about outcomes. And whether it's helping people live and work around wildlife and maintaining an abundance of wildlife in light of the many things that go on in this state, where we have a working landscape where the things that people do interface with and affect wildlife, or you're someone that consumptively uses wildlife, you're affected by the things that we do and the outcomes that we produce on the public's behalf. And so, you know, I'm a person that likes to get things done. I like to see tangible things at the end of the work that we do. And so that's my biggest priority, really, is to make sure that the work that we're doing is influencing outcomes that help make Idaho a better place. And, you know, the fish and wildlife in this state, that's the juice that makes Idaho special. And so, you know, being able to maintain and improve our wildlife resource is something that makes this a place where people want to be. And so the work that we do is really critical to making sure that happens. And, you know, when it comes to actually creating outcomes, one of the biggest priorities I have coming into this job is to make sure that we really deliberately build the inroads with the communities and the people that are involved in making those outcomes happen, or involving the people that have a stake in that outcome or in the steps that lead up to it. And so that is my, you know, that's my vision, and those are my priorities toward sort of seeing that vision to fruition, is working with people, making sure that we are present out there in all of the corners of the region, that we're recognized as a partner in making this a better place, especially with respect to the way that wildlife make it a special place to live.
Mm-hmm. Well put. Any particularly hot topics or emergent topics that you'd like to mention to the public, or either put information forward or ask for help back?
Well, I wish I had been here longer to sort of think about ways that we really need the public's engagement right now. In the next few months, and right now, I'm trying to tackle that, getting out into the communities, trying to do things like this that help help people recognize me as the new regional supervisor, to help folks be aware that I'm someone who's approachable, that they can call and visit with when they want engagement from the agency, and to just build that understanding and expectation out in the different corners of the region. And so, there's a lot of challenges that we're dealing with right now. I mean, the big one that a lot of folks are very aware of, that has cropped up in the past year, has been chronic wasting disease. The management of chronic wasting disease and the implementation of the commission's chronic wasting disease management plan is going to take a tremendous amount of engagement from the public. If it happens to be detected in the panhandle, right now it's in kind of a very isolated part of the central part of the state, west central, that is. But at some point, if we're challenged with managing that up here, that's going to be one of those times when having those relationships in the communities, being able to kind of have the stage set so that we can engage them in a productive way where they already recognize us as a partner that can be there to help them solve that problem and work around something that is without a doubt going to be controversial, is a challenge that we're going to be up against. And so that's why I say in the near term, being able to be present out there in the places where people are going to need our engagement at some point, or potentially need it, whether it's with CWD management or something else, is going to be important. Access statewide is a big issue lately. Our population's getting bigger, our human population, that is. People are moving here because Idaho has tremendous opportunities for recreation and to hunt and fish is part of that. With every person that there's only so many square miles of Idaho, right? And with every person that moves here, there's less space for fish and wildlife, there's less water. And so the ability that the landscape has to support more fish or wildlife diminishes. At the same time, there is an increasing need to manage for more opportunities for more people. And it's a huge challenge, and we're constantly being tasked with managing for more with less, and to allocate a finite resource to more people that interact with it in a bunch of different ways.
I think you've touched on a really important theme there, that with increased population comes that increased interaction between wildlife and humans, especially in the wildland or wildlife-urban interface, the mixing zone, if you will. And I believe that's one of the themes that's running through the recently released or updated State Wildlife Action Plan. And that's, I've not read through it all yet, hit the highlights. And I think that's a remarkable achievement and worth noting that that's out there. And it's probably a plan that not everybody's that familiar with. So, maybe Carson, you or TJ would like to touch base a little bit on what the plan entails.
Yeah, I can talk about the plan a little bit. So our State Wildlife Action Plan, Phil, is really it's more all encompassing than a lot of the individual species management plans that we have for a lot of our fish or wildlife species that are hunted or trapped or that kind of thing. And so think about our elk or deer management plan. Those are very specific. But it's something like 2% of the fish and wildlife that occur in this state are, actively hunted or fished for or trapped. And so consumptively used, for lack of better words. but there's a whole lot of other species that occur in this state that we manage on the public's behalf. And the SWAP, the State Wildlife Action Plan, is the plan that covers the rest of stuff. And it's not all encompassing in the sense that every other fish or wildlife species that occurs in the state, gets noted in the SWAP, but it is a place where particularly species of greatest conservation need, where the individual management plans for those species are sort of housed. And it is a non-regulatory document, but it is a plan that our Fish and Game Commission approves that is strategic and guides the proactive management plan of animal species that we know are sensitive to potential, threatened or endangered status, or are declining in their abundance and distribution, or species that we just need more information on to better manage. And so that's where the information and the strategic approach for all of those other things live. Things like northern leopard frogs or pygmy rabbits. That's the place that the public is going to be able to go to find the information about those species, their population trends, the different threats on the landscape that may affect those species distribution and abundance, those kinds of things. And so what we are in the process of doing right now is revising our State Wildlife Action Plan from the last version, which was developed back in 2015. And so really the goal right now is to develop our SWAP in a way that's more user-friendly to the public, to our partners that use the SWAP. Think maybe Bonner County, that right now is updating their comprehensive plan. The SWAP is going to be a tool for some of our partner entities like that, for local government to be able to find information about how, for instance, urban and rural development in the county might affect a particular animal species that occurs there. And so it's a source of information for folks, and it is the first place that folks can go to see what our approach looks like to managing species of greatest conservation or information need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you touched on the county comprehensive plan, and we could probably do an entire show on the risks of habitat fragmentation and the need value of corridors. But suffice to say that those are important concepts at the planning level that the State Wildlife Action Plan can help address. The department also, in addition to managing wildlife, does manage some habitat areas and some significant ones here in the Panhandle. We've featured some of them on the show before. There is the Myrtle Creek Game Preserve was just announced, has opened up to hunting and trapping recently. And that's a really big deal that I think, again, might fly a little bit under the radar of most folks listening. Tell us a little bit about how that came about and just what a big deal that is.
Yeah, you bet. So, as you mentioned, Phil, we have a number of wildlife management areas around the state. We have, four in the Panhandle region. Those are lands owned or administered by the department to enhance wildlife habitat. All open to hunting, fishing, trapping activities. But back at the turn of the last century, there was some policy developed by the state legislature that established several game preserves, which are different than a wildlife management area. So you think back to, that turn of the last century, that was before the creation of professional fish and wildlife agencies. We had a state game warden at that point in time. Professional management of wildlife resources was just becoming a thing. In fact, the modern day Fish and Game Department wasn't actually established until the late 30s. And so at that point in time, we're going through some of the doldrums of market hunting, serious resource exploitation, things that were really affecting the number of animals out on the landscape. And so at that point in time, some policy was developed that created these sort of safe areas for wildlife to protect them from over harvest. And Myrtle Creek, almost the entire Myrtle Creek drainage was one of those places established as a game preserve in about 1937, I believe. And so over time, you know, with we mentioned access, right? With access becoming more limited, people having fewer places to go because of access limitations to private property or you name it. It's just a no-brainer to be able to allow access into some of these game preserves that traditionally did not have sportsman access or did not have for a long time, and where we could get hunters, you know, out to recreate and sort of better distribute them. That's happened in many stages by the commission over the last 70 or 80 years. They've opened those to hunting and fishing. Myrtle Creek, though, was one that stayed closed until just last month because the ability of the commission to open that was somewhat nuanced. There were some very specific sideboards on it with relative to the opening of the preserve, which was actually enshrined in state rule, that basically said the commission's not able to open this without the consent of the Department of Environmental Quality and the city of Bonners Ferry, because Myrtle Creek was and still is the municipal water source for the town of Bonners Ferry. And so it's very broadly recognized now that hunting, fishing, trapping activities in the drainage are not going to jeopardize water quality. That was acknowledged by the city of Bonners Ferry and the Department of Environmental Quality. And so what the commission needed was the concurrence of those two agencies in order to legally open that game preserve to hunting and fishing. And so we were able to work with the city of Bonners Ferry, the city council, the DEQ to get their concurrence. And they provided that to the commission. And at their last meeting last month, they reopened it. So 36 square miles of really good big game habitat that is now open to sportsmen. There's even some fishing opportunity in Myrtle Creek itself for trout. It's a big win, and it helps us toward that overall goal with access challenges anymore of getting people into places that where they can recreate, spread out. It reduces conflicts between sportsmen and all that kind of stuff.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a big, big deal.
Phil, can I add something to that? Can I add something to that too?
Please.
Yeah, so Carson said it's a huge win for sportsmen to now be able to access the Myrtle Creek, the Myrtle Creek Preserve. And, you know, based on what we have heard so far from the public, whether it's phone calls or people just talking in person or particularly on social media, people are thrilled. So this is one of those unique opportunities where it's always, we like to provide opportunity anytime that we can. And so being able to do that, I think is, it's just exciting and looking forward to folks enjoying that.
Yeah, it's an exciting bit of news. Well, as we wind down towards the end of the interview, are there any topics that we've not touched on that you'd like to bring up and take a look at?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we're just happy for the opportunity here, Phil, and enjoy being able to, this is a new type of way that I've been able to outreach with people as of late, at podcasts, radio interviews like this. And especially right now, as I try to connect with more people in the region, it is appreciated, and appreciate you thinking of us and, the importance of us outreaching with people.
Well, you'll get the morning show bump. There'll be a lot of new people with questions. And so with that in mind, if there is a listener that wants to follow up with a question, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you, Carson, or the TJ or the department in general?
Yeah, folks are welcome to just call our office. We're open 5 days a week, 8 to 5. That's the best way for folks to interact with us one-on-one. You can stop by the office. You can give us a call if you're not local here in Coeur d'Alene, and you know, like I mentioned before, one of the things we really value here at Fish and Game is being approachable and being available to people so that we can interact one-on-one and to break down barriers to our communication with the folks that you know we want to work with. And so we're not bureaucrats. Well, we are in some cases, but we're the type that you can call and you can work with anytime.
And the main line for the office is 208-770-3790. Is that right?
That is my direct office line.
That's your direct
office. Anybody is welcome to call that. I'm always happy to talk to anybody.
But better than Carson's direct line, probably. No.
Yeah.
No,
our main office line is 208-769-1414. And from there, people can get connected with an expert in whatever their question is related to. And I think I just would want to echo what Carson said. Like I know the people that work in this office and know them really well. And I know that each and every one of them is here to serve the public. And so having those opportunities to talk with the people that they're working for, we all enjoy it. And so, yeah, removing those barriers, being approachable to people is a high value for us. And so trying to reiterate that as much as we can.
Yeah, we do have the opportunity throughout the year to feature several different guests from the Idaho Department of Fish and Game on the morning show here. And I've always had the pleasure in other organizations I belong to attend meetings where staff is present, and they're always very knowledgeable and helpful in engaging with the public with any questions there are or with suggestions and advice. So welcome to come back on the show anytime. As you know, if there's something emergent you'd like to talk about, just get a hold of us. For now, we'll sign off by thanking Carson and TJ for joining us this morning on the morning show. If you missed any of the interview or want to listen to it again, in its entirety, it will be available as a podcast later on this afternoon. Thank you, Carson Watkins, the Panhandle Regional Supervisor, the new Panhandle Regional Supervisor for the Idaho Department of Fish and Game, and TJ Ross, the Regional Communications Manager. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Phil.
Yeah, thank you, Phil.